Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing? What the hell?
Someone's was that somebody blowing the nose? Ooh, very nice.
What the fuck? I thought, yo, this fucking microphone is supposed to, like, cut off if I flip this thing up. What the fuck? I apologize. Do you want to redo that?
I don't know. No. Should I?
No.
I mean, it would be.
I loved it.
It would be within, like, it would be with our usual standards, so
yeah, we're leaving it.
All right, well, everyone, so
Jacob's snotty. Aki, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
And then Brooke's here, yay!
Yay. I just got off work.
She's only here for a little bit. Boo.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, because you have some business to take care of.
That's right, and lucky for me, even though I just walked through the door earlier today, I tore up my little papers in advance. I don't know if you guys can hear it from the phone.
Ooh, I can
but
hear it.
I got
it.
The raffle entries. Oh, you can hear it? Okay, awesome.
Oh, okay.
So you literally wrote names on paper, tore them up, put them in a hat, and you're going to draw a winner.
Yeah, and I will show you a picture of my hat that I'm drawing it out of later. I'll text it to the Discord chat because It's pretty thick. It's a hat I got from the flea market like 10 years ago, and it says Brooke. It's a ball cap, and it has my name in pink and purple glitter, and it has a dinosaur on the front that appears to be popping out of the hat, but it's just art. And then I drew sunglasses on the dinosaur, so it's pretty sweet. People see the hat, and they're like, oh. Sweet. People are like, did you get that hat when you were like 7 years old? And I'm like, no, I got this when I was 32 years old.
Hell yeah.
That's my shit. Okay, but it's a big moment. So Jacob actually was our biggest donator. So he, statistically, it's Jacob, because I think it's 10 of these entries are from Jacob. And then
yep, we've got 8 from No Time.
So just
8 from
just
No Time for Games.
Just so I'm clear on this, it is any game.
It is the game. It is the digital game of your choice, so you can't make me buy you like a $200 limited edition.
No, I wasn't going to make you buy a $200 game, but I had an idea of what I was.
I mean, well, I, the thing digital is, I games was also, on my list that are over $100.
Yeah, and I was like,
because like I knew that like my idea was also going to be a tad ridiculous. I was also going to throw in some of my own money, but
what
we'll find out
your idea.
No, I
okay,
have
we'll
to
find
know
out, we'll
I
find
win.
Out if you win first.
Okay, right. Okay, let's do this.
So, let's see. Who is the
right.
winner? Brooke, the moment of justice is here.
Okay. It is... Ooh. Well, this is interesting. You know, I don't know if he's going to have time for this game, personally. It's No Time for Games.
Oh, woo-hoo! No Time for Games. Congrats on winning the digital game of your choice. Brooke will hook you up with that. We'll figure out. If it's on Xbox, no I might time. Have to gift it to you. We'll figure it out.
We will figure it out for sure. It'll be from me with love. And, you know, go ahead and reach out to me on Twitter or Discord if you want. I'll reach out to you soon. Jacob, you donated 10 times. I thought you were going to win this, buddy. We're going to get together. We're going to figure something out for you. You'll get like an honorable mention. I'm going to get you some stupid DLC or something. Because
you'll honorably
I appreciate it.
Buy him the horse armor for fucking Oblivion.
Well, speaking of horses, that was actually going to be my plan.
Okay. Because you wanted to buy my horse and me too.
Yes, that was my plan. I was going to be like, Joe, you now have to sell my horse and me too to Brooke. And I was going to toss in some money to make, like, so it wasn't going to be so fucking obscene.
What is this game? I'm going to look this up right now. Hold up.
It's my like a super rare Xbox 360 game that only came out in Europe.
Yeah,
and
it only got a European release, and it's region free.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And so, it's my new white whale. Like,
wow.
Because the thing is, even if you go over to Europe, it's still rare as hell.
Yeah.
To find, and so like it's pretty much been at like $100 or more forever.
Yeah, there's like a super water damaged copy on eBay right now for like $60.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm looking at this. Came out in 2008. 95% of Google users like this game.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Because they're all achievement hunters, I guess.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And Jacob, we're going to work something out for you, dude, just because you didn't win this round. You know?
Yeah, he gets a copy of Solitaire. Carnage, where are you?
I already have a copy of that.
Tough shit, you're getting another.
Guess what? Jess's account gets one, too.
I think he's actually out of Solitaire codes. What's the new one that we have, like, 5,000 of? I thought there was something we got recently that we had, like, a dozen codes for. Paddles, I have no idea. That's the one.
Oh, I have that, too.
Oh, damn, well, fuck.
I had to review it.
That's right.
He got to review it.
Good shit. So, yeah, no time. We will get you set up with whatever you want. We'll figure it out.
Do we know No Time's Twitter handle?
Yeah, no time.
Does No Time have a Twitter handle?
No Time for Game. There's so many Twitters.
I know, man. Well, I'm going to look for him. We'll figure this out.
I'm just glad Jacob lost.
Hey, but the real win was the friends that he made along the way or something.
And that's not
all the donations thing, are going to help Pickle. So, like,
yeah, it is all going to help Pickle. I believe the first payout is going to be this weekend, actually. We're going to have $120 going to the Pickle Fund.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's the awesome. First Twitch payout that I've had in... Ooh, long ass time.
Hell yeah.
I think the last time was back when Cole was still with us.
No, I think I had one or two like since then. But yeah.
I want to say let's do this again sometime, but I don't want anything bad to happen to any more of your cats. But if it does, we will do this again. We'll have another raffle because this is kind of fun.
Hold on. I'm stabbing Predator right now.
What?
Don't be a Purnell playing games during the recording.
Oh, my.
All right. Yeah, Brooke, are you going to stick around for news at all, or do you have to get going?
I'm going to take off. I'm actually going to go to bed at, what time is it, 6:15? I'm going to sleep, you guys. Nice. This is lame.
I understand that.
I couldn't sleep last night. I'm so tired. I had like 200 milligrams of caffeine 2 hours ago, and it's time to just give up.
Is it crash time?
Yeesh, fall into the abyss.
It's crash time.
Of my gaping butthole.
But I'll talk to you guys soon. I'll come hang out on the Thursday show soon.
Oh my God, the timing on that raid was amazing. It's crash time. Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
That's amazing.
The timing of that was amazing. Dopey, thank you for the raid. Hello, raiders. Hello, everyone.
Hi,
you missed the news, but No Time for Games is the winner of our drawing, and Brooke unfortunately has to get going because the caffeine
crash is happening. I'm gonna go fall into the abyss of someone's gaping butthole or something.
Mine comfortably.
Don't think too hard about that one. if you're just joining us, honorable mention is Jacob. You'll get something. We'll toss something his way.
Yay.
But thanks for participating, everybody. Next time we'll do something like this again.
And thank you, Brooke, for doing this. So we will let you get going. Do you have any final words?
Think of Pickle, y'all. This is about Pickle, not us. That's all I gotta say.
Good old Pickle the Dickle.
Night night, y'all.
See you later.
Good night.
Later. Bye, Aki.
Bye, bro. Bye.
Anything you two want to talk about, or should we get to news? How was your week?
I put together a Gunpla.
A what?
I put together another Gunpla, a Gundam model.
Ah.
I put this one, well, technically IGT put this one up to a vote on which of the heads I was going to make for it, but I finished that today, actually. Other than that, still waiting for more models to come in from pre-orders. I only have like $700 worth of them pre-ordered.
Jesus.
I've had most of that pre-ordered since like fucking June. So, and like a third of it was supposed to be there in June.
Good Lord.
Still not fucking here. Hell, I got one of them that I just got, because I just got three recently. One of them wasn't supposed to be in until sometime early next year. Two of them were supposed to be in June. So, yeah.
Jacob, do you have any models coming?
not models, but I have action figures on the way. So I buy the Star Wars Droid Factory action figures. We've talked about it before on the show, like all my little R2-D2s and shit like that. So Disney just released the Christmas holiday ones, and so I've got the R6, I think it's like called R6 Snow, which is like this R6 astromech that has like a little like top hat on and like a winter scarf. And then they, for some reason, like I last year was the holiday multi-pack of like previous year's droids, and so this year they released like a $90 advent calendar. And but the thing is that you get to put together 5 droids from it.
Wow.
And so every day you open up like a flap on it and there's one of the droid pieces. And of course, Disney hasn't shown like what the droids are supposed to look like. So nobody knows if it's like a mix and match kind of thing or if, you know, they're going to, you know, they have very specific models in mind. So.
There's, I mean, they're 15 going to be like different models and they're all randomly assigned. How shitty would that be?
Well, see, that's actually my fear because this thing was like $90 and like, so there's 5 droids that get built in there, but like if all parts are like swappable and like they all match, then I'm just like, shit, I need to come up with like another like $600 real quick.
Yeah.
Which Jess like looked at me when I said that and I was like, I'm kidding, but not really. Like, so yeah, I'll have more droids to add to my, you know, ever growing collection. They took over my desk.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm not really proud of you.
I know. But I saw your reaction last night to the one time I've posted a wholesome meme on the Facebook page. You were like, oh, thank God. What a breath of fresh air. And finally, something that's not about cum or like fucking 4chan green text.
Oh, my God. When I see a green text post from you, I want to log in and delete it. I hate green text so much.
Well, good. I'm just going to find nothing but green text now.
You're going to be banned from Facebook.
Good. Shit. Oh, but yeah, I was actually going to reply to your thing with a cum meme. But I couldn't decide which one and then I got bored. So
should just done all of them.
Yeah, but that's a lot of memes to go through. Like, I've got, like, 13,000 pictures on my phone, and, like... God
damn.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, hold on. It gets better. Like, how many of those do you think are of, like, you know, my family, my kids?
None.
Maybe 10?
Like, it's probably about, like, 1,000, and the rest of it is memes. I'm dead fucking serious.
Jesus.
Yeah. Why? Like... Because I'll just like scroll through shit and I find it funny and I want to save it for later. And sometimes I'm like, oh, like I could use this on the SML podcast page and stuff like that. And yeah, that's what happens.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I really like wish that like the iPhone could like organize all that stuff better. So then I could just be like, all right,
I mean,
I need a cum meme or I need a Final Fantasy meme or I need a Final Fantasy cum meme, you know.
I mean, so you could do that.
Apple update their photos app to like have detection on like what pictures are what and to sort them. And I don't know. No Time for Games just subbed. So thank you so much for your 42nd month of subscribing to our stupid show. That is 42 months of cat emotes and wet pancakes.
So back to your question, kind of. Like, it figured out, like, which photos are of my kids.
Well, that's not creepy at all.
Well, yeah, all right, that's
fair. It specifically has only figured out photos that involve your children.
Well, not quite, because the thing is that it did divide them up into people. And so, like, it did recognize, like, oh, these are ones with Jacob's face. These are ones with, like, my kids, my wife. My dad, my mom, brother, Bernie Sanders, Captain William Riker, Captain Picard, you know, so it figured out those members of my family. From my fucking memes. So, and also there's a Godzilla photo. So apparently Apple thinks Godzilla is a person.
I mean.
Jinx. Aki can't talk until... Oh, wait, shit. I said Aki's name. Damn it. Awful at this.
You are awful. Also awful. PlayStation Plus premium lineup. Oh, my God. Like, I'm a PlayStation Plus premium member. Let me get that out of the way. Like, I'm paying for the top tier of PlayStation Plus.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
And I am getting so fucking irritated with them and their premium lineup. Like, they have a huge shitload of games coming to PlayStation Plus Extra. It is an amazing list. Let's go through this list. Grand Theft Auto Vice City Definitive Edition.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Cool.
Assassin's Creed Chronicles China.
Nice.
India.
Nice.
Russia.
Very nice.
So Assassin's Creed collection. 3 Remastered.
Okay.
Syndicate.
Nice.
Dragon Quest Heroes. 1 and 2. Dragon Quest Builders 1 and 2.
Very
Dragon meh. Quest 11.
Okay.
Hohokam. Naruto to Boruto Shinobi Striker.
What was the Hohokam one before that?
It's a PlayStation exclusive.
Okay, that has a terrible fucking name.
It does.
And the next one's terrible because it's Naruto.
Yeah, and then Inside.
Nice.
And the Medium for PS5.
Fuck yeah, that's a great game.
All of those come into PS Plus Extra on the 18th.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And
let's get to the premium. Let's get to the premium lineup. These are the retro games, okay? This is the old stuff. Yakuza 3, 4, and 5 Remastered for PS4.
That's not retro.
No.
At all. Isn't the retro stuff supposed to be like PS1 and 2 shit?
And PSP, yeah.
The fuck?
And then they have Limbo for PS3, despite the fact that there's Limbo for PS4. Ultra Street Fighter 4 for PS3, despite the fact that there's Street Fighter 4 on fucking PS4. Castlevania Lords of Shadow for PS3, and then Everyday Shooter for PS3. And again, okay. PS3 games are streaming only.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then for PS2...
Fuck and all?
And then for PS1, we've got...
Fuck and all too.
And then PSP. Let's see all the PSP games we got coming this month.
Jack and shit this time.
Nothing.
Right. I was going to say, like, nothing. What the hell? Are you ordering at McDonald's or something?
Nothing. Nothing for PS1. Nothing for PSP. Nothing for PS2. What the fuck is the point of having this classics lineup if you're not going to release stuff?
What really kills me is they have all these PS1 and 2 games already online.
Yeah, and they clearly have the emulator working for PS1 on the PS5, as evidenced by the other PS1 games available. So start releasing some. For the love of God, release some goddamn games.
Well, they don't even have to pay other people for some. They have some of their own exclusive games that they could be doing this with. Legend of the Dragoon. Fuckers do absolutely nothing with that. I fucking hate them. That thing that thing shouldn't be worth any fucking money. They should just give it to me for like $15. I'll do something with it and it'll be amazing. I'll even let them have it on their fucking system.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I can't fathom ever subscribing to PS Plus Premium again after my subscription runs out. Now, PS Plus Extra is solid. They have a great lineup. They are building a great lineup. It is definitely starting to compete with Game Pass in terms of what's there. It's not getting anywhere close in terms of like day one launches, but that's not what PS Plus is trying to do.
I think that it won't... To me, the highest tier one isn't going to be worth buying for like another decade, because then all the stuff that's currently being put out for the lesser tiers are going to be in the higher tier, because they're all going to be retro games at that point. Then it might be worth buying.
It's just
so fucking useless.
I am so tired of the retro games getting ignored. That's what they hyped up. They hyped up so much that we were going to get PS1, PS2, and PSP games, and nothing. Oh, well.
All they had to do was release Legend of Dragoon. That's all they had to do.
They won't. They will release Spider-Man Miles Morales on PC on November 18th.
That's awesome.
That is coming.
I can't wait for people to mod in Prider-Man. I can't wait. I fucking Prider-Man. Love that.
I like that. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's just a rainbow suit version, and it looks, they did it in the first game, and it looks so fucking awesome. I'll see if I can find some pictures of it. It's so cool looking.
Nice. Some sad news for Jacob. Star Trek Resurgence has been delayed.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got tons of shit to play for this game, or for this podcast. So, yeah, you know. Do.
We're keeping your ass busy. But it's been delayed to April 2023. So a couple of months, nothing huge.
Yeah, that's what she said.
She did say that quite a bit.
Yeah, she does.
Something cool. Xbox Cloud Gaming is coming to Quest headsets.
Okay.
I mean, at least somebody will use them now.
I think it's pretty cool that you'll be able to play Xbox games on a giant virtual screen in VR. I think that's cool as shit.
I mean, how much do the things cost?
I don't know, a couple hundred. Ugh. Aren't the cheap ones like 300 or 400? Or did they go up?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Considering I can't use that technology, I have never kept track of any of it.
Yeah, I always wondered if there was any way you can use VR technology at all, or like anything similar to that. I don't know what level of blindness you're at. Like, obviously, you're able to see some more stuff that it's since you could play.
Seizure risk than anything, because it's effectively all that is putting
video games.
Basically, it's putting someone in a movie theater, and that's incredibly unsafe for people who have, you know, who are have photosensitivity based seizures, because that's basically all VR is. It's putting the screen really close in a super dark room.
True, like an inch away from your face.
Yeah.
Shout out to an anonymous cheerer who just donated 100 bitties. So thank awesome. You. Thank you for the Pickle Fund donation. But yeah, Xbox Cloud Gaming on headsets. That should be pretty neat. Square Enix Montreal has rebranded. They are now Studio Onoma.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a reason.
There was they've had a post about like what does it mean, and I forget.
Yeah, it is.
We're doing good.
Yeah. Sonic Frontiers is going to be getting some Monster Hunter DLC.
So that looked so cool.
That is a weird ass crossover.
It's super cute looking though.
It does look cute, and it's going to be free.
Yeah,
that's unexpected, cool. Actually.
Yeah, free DLC on November 14th, so it will be out shortly after the game launches. Also launching October 18th, so next week, Crash Bandicoot 4 is hitting Steam.
Cool.
Hey, the more people to get to play it, the better.
I guess.
Well, Crash 4, did you play Crash 4?
I've never particularly cared for the Crash games, so no.
They're solid platformers.
Yeah, they're good.
Next in line, Sonic and Resident Evil crossover. That would be amazing.
I'd be down for that.
What Sonic crossover do you want?
Probably X-Men. I really like the X-Men, so X-Men.
What about you, Jacob? What kind of dream Sonic crossover would you want?
The entirety of the MCU.
You're terrible at this.
Yeah, I don't even
the MCU. Because... Just think about it. He could spin up real fast, shoot out like the lightning like you see in the movies, and Thor could catch him. That'd be so awesome.
Yeah, but that's like the kind of like fastball special that Colossus and Wolverine did. So I don't know.
It'd still be awesome.
I don't know.
That would be neat. For real, I would like a Sonic and Lucky Tales crossover.
Oh, that would work. Lucky
Tales, yeah. I feel like Xbox really need to up the game on family-friendly platformers or games like Mario. Lucky's Tale isn't Xbox, though. They're third party.
If any, you know what? I have an idea. If anything, I would want to fucking cross over with Advent Rising just so then it guarantees that, God damn it, we finally get another game. Or Mega Man Legends.
I want to cross over with Burnout so we finally get a new Burnout game.
Hey, you know what? Desperate times call for desperate measures. You just throw it. Just throw in SSX while you're at it, too.
Timber's saying Lucky's Tale is an Xbox. It says Microsoft Studios. New Lucky's Tale, or the original Lucky's Tale, was an Xbox exclusive, and then they re-released it as New Super Lucky's Tale, and that is actually multi-platform because it's not a first-party game. It was the original release, I think, was considered second party, but the re-release is on everything. So, yes, it's not a Microsoft property. Something
interesting.
Something that is going to be sticking around with Atari, though, is Roller Coaster Tycoon. They announced a 10-year license extension for the game.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's always been popular.
Yeah. And then last bit of news I have is that Phil Spencer got people talking this week when he posted a picture celebrating the 25th anniversary of Fallout and what appeared to be a prototype Xbox device that many are speculating to be a streaming box. Did you guys see that picture?
I saw it. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that's what they're moving towards anyway, it seems like. I mean, now that you can, what is it, Samsung smart TVs, you can stream games through them. Yeah.
Quest headsets, you're going to be able to stream games through. So, yeah, we might see an Xbox streaming device soon. Xbox has, like, they kind of commented on it. Like, there was a reply from Xbox that was like, what did we tell you about leaving prototype devices out again? Something like that. But, yeah, that's the news I got. Aki, any news on your end?
Nope.
Helpful.
I know.
Jacob, what about you?
Well, I mean, there's the news that Meta, aka Facebook, their VR social network Horizon is too buggy and their own employees aren't using it, which of course, like, Meta replied the next day like, ha, everyone's using it. What everyone are you talking loves about? It. Yeah, they think it's great. Oh god, yeah. No, also they just introduced legs. Which is, for whatever fucking reason, a feature.
Legs?
Yeah, your avatars now have legs.
Okay.
Cool.
That you can see. Like.
Cool.
So, yep.
Root Beer mentioning there's a Logitech portable thing for xCloud coming. Yeah, the Logitech, I think it's called the G Cloud. It is, I think, $349 is going to be the official price, but it's launching at $299. And it's basically a handheld streaming device. It unfortunately doesn't have any kind of 5G capability, so you can't play anywhere. It seems like it'd be good for like a bedroom. You could just play xCloud in bed.
You know, so you can just even more never leave your bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got two other bits of news. The soundtrack release that literally no one was asking for, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, is getting a special edition soundtrack release through Varese Saraband. So it's now going to be a 94-minute score across two discs, limited to 2,000 copies for all, like, two people that wanted it. Anyway. So there's that, and then also two unreleased NES games have shown up on eBay. One of them was developed by Rare for the Nintendo Power Glove.
Ooh.
And the other one is a English translation of Battlefield's Napoleon, which had a Japanese release. So, like, we know what it was going to be, but there was a full straight-up English port of it that just never got released, and it even includes the box art prototype.
Wow.
So the folks over at crud, what are they called? They usually try to buy up all this kind of stuff. The Video Game History Foundation, they're trying to secure funds to get their hands on it so it can be preserved and, you know, enjoyed by everyone. But right now they're stretched pretty thin. Kotaku actually has an article up about it, so, and it has the donation link for it.
Nice.
And that Rare demo, I don't think that they really know what is exactly on it. But some people who used to work at Rare said it was a puzzle game where the cursor was a disembodied hand and you made different gestures to complete complete tasks, punching rocks or turning keys, etc.
Flipping the bird.
So, I guess, maybe.
Power glove, baby. You could do anything. It's so bad.
Except, you know, actually play video games.
Yeah,
pretty much. So, that's all I got.
So this Tomb Raider Cradle of Life soundtrack, is it going to be like just the movie score, or is it going to be like the soundtrack with like Crystal Method is on there, Moby's on there, Lunatic Calm, Dandy Warhol, Saliva, POD, Satellite is on there?
Let me dig that up. I think it's just the score because they're listing... Yeah, it's just Alan Silvestri's score.
No. So they lost all my interest.
Yeah, $25.
I could have had Saliva on vinyl.
Oh, no. It's a 2-CD set.
Oh, well.
So I guess they lost you even more?
Yeah. My computer doesn't have a disk drive.
Well, you could go fucking buy one.
Then I would need another USB port. I just lost the USB port this weekend.
Doing this what? Week. Sticking your dick in it again?
No, because I got a new keyboard, which segues into tonight's reviews. We're going to tackle one review now, and then the rest tomorrow, I guess, with Jacob. I don't know. Why am I addressing this on the show? that we record out of order and I'm just going to shuffle shit together. Yeah. First thing we are going to talk about tonight is the Rock Hat Vulcan 2 Max keyboard created by Rock Hat and available on the Rock Hat website for $229.99. This keyboard is a fucking beast. I'm kind of in the same boat as Brooke in that I'm not like a master at keyboard lingo and I don't know what's what, but I've been typing since I've been a kid. We had typing in high school. I've been using keyboards for most of my life at this point, and this is the best keyboard I've ever put my fingers on. It is just magical. First off, mechanical keyboard, and it's not super loud. I don't know, let me see if I could. Like, did that come through or not?
Like, one or two key presses may have come through, but it also may have been you fiddling with your mic.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Carnage says we hear that. So that's how loud... Like, it's not a loud keyboard. They have two varieties of it. They have two different switches. They have optical linear red and tactile brown. I believe mine is the optical red, which is linear and fast, and it has quiet sound. Whereas the tactile brown has like a gentle bump mid press. So you get more of like a tactile feedback and those are louder. So I believe I have the quiet version of this keyboard. It also has, it is aluminum plates on it. So it is nice and sturdy. I love that the keys are all out in the open. Like you look down at this thing and you can like just see in between all the keys. I'm not going to have issues with like beard hair being stuck in my keyboard for an eternity until I pop all the keys off. I could just use a canned air and blow it out.
Fucking yeah.
Cleanup is going to be so much better. Hey, Jacob, thank you for the Twitch Prime.
Yeah, I just found out how that works.
Cool.
We've only had Amazon Prime for like years.
So proud of you.
No problem.
Think of all the subs you could have been doing on Twitch.
You can always teach an old dog new tricks, apparently. It just takes years, that's all.
You could teach an old dog like what a real fucking keyboard is too. Because like up to this date, I've been the guy who would go to like Big Lots or Walmart and buy a $20 keyboard. And like all I need is I just need it to clicky clack and type. That's all I need. And this has opened my eyes to what a keyboard can be. It comes with a palm rest, which normally is like no big deal, but this is like a clear rubber one where light can pass through it. And keyboards now these days are all about lighting. This thing is like a light show on a keyboard. It is awesome to watch. They have, it is AMO RGB lighting, and they have different patterns you could do. It could have like a heartbeat pattern or like a pulse pattern. I have it set so that it dynamically lights up according to what I'm typing. So if I'm hitting keys, the keys will light up. If I stop typing, it'll just start glowing. It'll do random patterns. It is so cool to look at and just sit and stare at. When the computer goes to sleep, the keyboard goes to sleep with it into like a low power, low light setting where it'll still be cool, like patterns and stuff, but at a, I don't know, quieter, less bright setting. It's really neat. It has media controls on it, which is nothing new. But they work well. It has, for audio, they have a turn dial. Jake, I love, Jacob, that you're dropping single bits. You know they don't make a sound, right?
I know, but I made you comment on it.
Yeah, true. You dickhead. Dickhead. Let's see, what else is on this thing? They have cool functions that you can customize and create your own functions for it using the whatever the app is, like the Rocket Swarm app, whatever it is. This keyboard has memory on it. Like, it has user profiles and it stores things in memory on the key. Like, this thing could hold an MP3 if I wanted.
So... Wait, so explain how that part works, like profiles on a keyboard. Is there an app on your computer that you have to download?
And yeah, then the Swarm app that you can download, and you can customize like all the different macros and shit that you set up and all the custom key commands. You can
So it's like, all right, I'm booting up Rainbow Six, and here's how I have that mapped out. And now I'm going to boot up like Jedi Knight. You know, that's how that's going to.
And like everything can have custom lighting, key reassignment, everything. It's like four keyboards in one if you need them. Yeah, you just hold the button, hit the function, and F1 through F4 are the profile buttons. You just pick a profile. And you've got your own lighting, your own key bindings, everything. It is so cool. And the fact that there's memory on a keyboard, like what kind of crazy world are we living in? In my day, we used typewriters. The lighting, again, is really the thing that makes this such a treat to look at and just in type and play with. It's cool. I don't know how else to put this. It's durable. I've had no issues. Like, I've been banging the thing around. I guess one of the downsides could be is it doesn't have a detachable cord for the wire. Is it like it's integrated into the keyboard, so it's not a detachable USB cable. But even that's not a huge deal, because that's how keyboards are, or at least the ones I used. Do either of you have any questions about the keyboard?
I mean, I just asked mine, so.
Yeah, that was going to be the only thing I was going to ask.
I'm not sure what else.
A keyboard's a keyboard.
I'm not really too sure what else I could address with the keyboard that Brooke didn't cover, because this is basically the same keyboard that Brooke did, but in a full-size key layout with the number pad, with the dedicated arrow keys. It's full-size layout. And it's amazing. I guess the last thing I can mention is it has third-party keycap compatibility, where you can just pop the keys off and use any kind of cross key that you have or want to get. So it's customizable really easily. It's just a goddamn cool keyboard.
So is it easy to like clean then? Like, yes. With how we like,
yes,
you know, because I mean, with you got cats who I assume like they walk all over your damn keyboard, especially now that, like, you know, there's pretty lights on it. Yeah. And so I'm assuming that there's like cat hair, like food bits, catnip, like all this other kind of shit.
And because keyboard, all the keys, had it. because all the keys are open and it's just straight down to the base. All you do is just get a can of air and blow it out and it's good.
Like you just take off, like
there's nothing to take off.
Oh, okay.
You could just blow it as it is.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Damn right. Most people might balk at the price. It's $229 for a keyboard, which is not cheap.
Oh my. Yeah. That's very expensive. Holy shit.
What?
It's $229 for a keyboard with the palm rest. It is expensive, but you are getting what you pay for in this situation in terms of quality, in terms of usability. It is comfortable to use. My only real gripe is my fat palms sometimes hit like the function keys at the bottom, but that's my fat hand problem. The actual keyboard itself, if you're the one who's investing like $2,000 into a new GPU or something, with how expensive graphics cards are getting, if you're dropping thousands of dollars into your computer and you want the best of the best, this is up there with the best of the best. If you don't have the money, just stick with the $20 keyboard at Target. You're going to get typing. It won't look as pretty, but you know. Yeah, it is available again on the Rock Hat website. It is available in black and white with linear and tactile switches. So there are options with customizability, stuff like that. It is going to be available in shipping on October 17th. So next week it'll be out. It charges right away if you order. We will have a link in the description if you would like to check it out. I do not get any kind of commission, so I don't care if you use our link or not. Just Google it if you want. I don't have a referral link, so it doesn't help me in any way. But if you want a cool keyboard, you got one. Hydrate, you bitch. I will.
You were supposed to do it as you were talking right there.
Tough shit. All right, I'm leaving a gap so I can edit.
Leaving a gap between your thighs.
Stop talking so I know where the gap is, dingus. The
gaps in between your teeth.
Oh, wait. Nuh-uh, I got dentures.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, oh, wait. Like, I was just usually talking about, like, a front tooth gap, and I was like, oh, wait, Joe lost a bunch of teeth.
I feel got slight front tooth gap.
I felt slightly dickish after I realized that, and then I was like, yeah, fuck him.
Well, since no one's shutting up for that, to know where that is, I finally found the Prider Man pictures. I put them in the Discord.
Nice. So again, visit our Discord and check out the keyboard, because I'm gonna leave all this in. Oh, edit right here.
Good.
Jacob, you ready?
Yeah, what?
Your turn.
Oh. About what?
We just edited and this is the beginning. So I'm saying it's beginning your turn of what? For reviews. Beginning of the reviews section, you're bad at this. First up, PGA Tour 2K23, developed by HB Studios, published by 2K, released October 14th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $59.99, Series X and S and PS5 for $69.99. Take your skills and your swag on the PGA Tour and become the next FedEx champion. Compete against other tour pros with your MyPlayer and establish new rivalries. Jacob, tell us about your time on the links with PGA Tour 2K23.
Did it actually say, like, take your swag onto the course?
Yes.
Okay.
Take your skills and your swag.
Your swag.
On the PGA Tour.
Okay. So keep in mind.
I'm guessing you lost a lot of that swag when you had an 8-putt something.
So anyway, dear listeners, keep in mind that it has been a very long time since I've played like an actual golf game. Pretty much, I used to play a ton of Lynx 2004 back when I was in college. And so this PGA game was pretty much the first time in about 10, 12 years that I've played a golf game. So I've been out of practice, and it did not help that when the game was setting up, it was like, oh, hey, do you want to use the sticks or do you want to use this three button click,
which
yeah,
whatever normally they call it. Is good, but in this game, it is bad.
It is brutal. And so the thing is that like what you have to do is that you have to like hold on your first click to like
well,
to
before just, before guess, we get to the controls, we should explain the game first.
It's a golf game. All right, so it's a golf game where you can play on different courses and different weather conditions and all that other kind of stuff. There's a bunch of golfers that you can choose. Yeah, it's a golf game. Like, there's a bunch of different golfers that you can choose from, or you could do this My Career thing, which, you know, of course, has a storyline and sponsors. And of course, the better you do, the more sponsors you get, the more swag you can unlock, all that kind of stuff. And then there's also multiplayer in this game, so you can face off against people who are much, 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 much better than you.
Yep.
Online. So that's pretty much everybody right now for me.
The My Player is pretty cool. You get to create your own player and take him on tour. You could start with Q School and then go through like the I don't want to say the beginner stuff. It's like the amateur circuits and whatnot.
Yeah.
Semi-pro and whatnot. And if you do well enough, you're promoted to PGA Tour and you get to start rivalries against like a dozen other PGA players. Tony Finau's in there, Bubba Watson's in there, Ricky Fowler. The big one, obviously, Tiger Woods, they got for their cover star, their cover athlete. Tiger is back in
video game. I would just like to say I appreciate how you're rattling off all these golfers as if Aki or I would recognize anybody other than Tiger Woods.
I know you guys wouldn't, but someone might.
None of our listeners would.
No.
I mean, I wasn't even paying attention, so.
That's standard for you.
Fair enough. courses, they have a handful of real-world courses in the game, but the big thing that they have always had with, dating back to the Golf Club, when the series was called the Golf Club, customizable courses. You can create your own courses. There are thousands of courses over the years that they've made, and I'm not sure how many they have available in Golf Club now, but they have made some crazy stuff over the years. Like there have been people who made like picture perfect recreations of Augusta National, which is where they play the Masters, which they could not get for this game because EA has a lock on that. But that's a story for another day. But what's here, I'm really enjoying the package. And I think what you're having trouble with is that three-click control system is just, I don't know what the hell they did with it. It doesn't look like any three-click swing I've done before in a golf game. Like, it doesn't have the bar go across. You stop it at the end, then you stop it at the beginning. It's like you have to hold the A button, and then a thing fills up, and you have to release it, and then you have to hit it.
You have to hit it on the top and the bottom.
It's really unintuitive. I did not like it at all. I struggled back to analog.
Here's the thing. I was fine with it when I was normally hitting. But like once I had to like putt anything, it was absolute trash. Like it was just absolute hell. And I would make it on the green in like, you know, it would be like a par five and I'd get there in two and I'm just like, oh, sweet. You know, I got this. And suddenly I'm eight over like because of this damn system. And it was just like, and you know, my wife's listening to me curse from the next room over. And meanwhile, Joe's like, oh, like, well, that's your problem. It's the three thing. Like, shut up, Joe.
I mean, I also you told me you were having troubles with it. And I was like, oh, man, yeah. Did they change the putting? And I fired the game up. And I scored a negative 20.
Was it 20? I thought it was 24.
Is that good or bad?
24 was my best game. That wasn't my first game.
But okay, well.
Like an average round of golf, you'll get like a negative 6 if you're good.
Aki, in golf, the lower the score you have, the better. And you want to get like negative numbers.
How the fuck do you get into the negatives? You can't hit
if you have to, yes. If a hole is a par five, you have five shots to get it in. If you get in three, that's a three, and that's minus two.
Right.
Oh, I hate golfing so much.
Well, no.
Why do they have to make things complicated?
It's not complicated. There's a set number of strokes that you have for the whole game. And you basically just keep track of your total, and you're either above par or below par at the end of the day. And it's not, I don't know, I don't think golf is too complex when just the basic rules of it, but just hit the ball, get it in the hole, do it in as few strokes as possible.
I don't know.
The scoring system is stupid. Just outright.
We all know what Aki's doing if she ever gets her hands on a time machine and heads back to like Scotland in the 1500s.
She's gonna kill
golf. I'm gonna teach them how to fucking count is what I'm gonna do. Same like if I ever have the chance, I will eventually teach the people who own Steam how to fucking count.
They'll just say that you're a woman who knows math and they'll burn you at the stake.
Yeah.
Very possible.
That is true.
But also I was going to say, I was very disappointed that, for the My Career thing, like there isn't like some achievement called like Tom Kite's exercise loincloth for like zero achievement points where you get it for failing the qualifying amateur thing.
There is a negative achievement in the game, not a negative value achievement, but like an achievement you don't want.
What's that?
I'm sure you got it already.
I probably didn't.
Putt the ball from within 2 feet of the cup and end up short.
Oh no, I actually have not hit. I've not done that yet.
Wow.
Because first off, I'd have to get it within 2 feet of the cup.
Well, I figured with your 20 putts, you would have eventually gotten it there.
No, it always kept overshooting.
Oh, you're terrible at this.
Yeah, shut up. All right, I'm better now that I switched it over to the stick.
See, I told you, it's the analog stick. You got to go with the analog stick control method.
You really do.
Swing back, swing forward.
Once I started doing that, I was doing great.
Yeah.
Like currently I'm in the middle of a game and I'm like, I think I'm negative. I think I'm like 3 under, I think.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so far. I mean, I'm only like, I think I'm 7 holes in.
Yeah, that's maybe. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
That's like a normal round of golf to be 3 under after 7 holes. So
yeah. So I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
But
you're better now that you have the control stick. So
right.
Got that figured out. Something cool with the game is they have a lot of customization. This is both a positive and a negative in my eyes. It's positive because there's lots of cool stuff to unlock as you play through the game, through either beating courses, leveling up, getting sponsorships with clothes, balls, clubs. And then they have the premium shop, which is going to be a point of contention among people because now you can buy like a fucking hat for like $5, and it's I don't see the point in it. Like I don't know if they had wacky costumes, like I can understand it, but it's like, hey, get this black polo shirt. Why?
It's not for people like you. It's for people like me who have a problem with money.
Well, I have that problem.
Costumes for characters that have absolutely no purpose whatsoever, just because they were there. I have bought recently. I bought stuff for Tales of Arise, a game I've already beaten. Stuff that helps you beat the game easier. Why? Because I have a problem.
Well, yeah. Look at my Rock like Band library. I have a problem too. So
yeah, yours is with music. Which is also displayed by your iTunes library. Mm-hmm. This isn't targeting individuals like you, because this isn't music. This is targeting people like me in Wales, who spend their money on all the frivolous shit. No one else is going to buy this shit, and they know it, but they know they'll make all the money that they want, and then some, from people like me in Wales, who will buy all of this shit.
I just think they could do better with what they're offering. I think they could have wacky costumes, give me weird clubs. Like, one of the pre-order incentives was a hockey stick is a golf club.
That would require effort, and that's the whole point. Like they don't want to put effort.
Let me hit a golf club with, like, a cardboard roll. Like, just a cardboard tube. Like, remember Cardboard Tube Samurai from Penny Arcade? Give me a cardboard tube and let me hit a ball. Just, I don't know, give me unique options in the game to entice me to spend my money to make it more palatable and more, I don't know, I just The customization in this game just didn't really do it for me. Although I think it's hilarious that one of the default characters looks exactly like me.
I mean, big fat white guy that's balding. I mean, that's not that hard to make. I mean,
yeah. No, seriously, the first time I loaded up the game and I saw the one default character, I was like, is this a previous character of mine? Did it import an old save file? I seriously thought it was me. I thought it was hilarious, but yeah, the game is sitting at $60, $70 for next gen. What are your thoughts, Jacob?
Honestly, I'd recommend it. As somebody who hasn't touched a golf game in this long, as long as you stay away from that three clicks system, you know, go with like how every other golf game has ever played. And
it sucks because there's an achievement to finish an 18-hole round using the three-click swing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just finish a round. That's all you got to do. And I don't think I'm going to bother with it.
Oh, wait. Is that the one that I have?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I did that, and that's how I lost in the amateur thing.
Victor, Pat, thank you so much for your sub. That is an 11-month sub. On a 5-month streak. Thank you so much for dropping by and dropping a sub.
Yep. That was me. Yeah, I did get that one.
Proud of you. I got a hole in one. So suck that, bitch.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I was the 50th person on True Achievements to get that 3-click swing achievement.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
So proud of you. No, I'm not.
I know.
Next game, Nickelodeon Kart Racers 3 Slime Speedway, developed by Bamtang Games, published by Game Mill Entertainment, released October 14th. Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Rebuilt and reimagined from the ground up, Nickelodeon Kart Racers returns bigger and better than ever, featuring a cast of over 40 iconic characters. Drift, slide, and boost your way to the finish line on tracks inspired by legendary Nickelodeon shows like SpongeBob SquarePants, Avatar The Last Airbender, that Nickelodeon classic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and so much more. I mean, I know they own it now, but it wasn't originally a Nickelodeon show.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't originally, but now it is.
It's so weird to me that they're a Nickelodeon property. But, Jacob, tell us about Nick Kart Racers 3.
So, I had gotten to play the second one when that came out, and to be honest, like, I didn't really feel like there was much of a difference with this one as compared to the other one, other than handling is heck of a lot better. But there's all sorts of different racetracks. And I mean, perhaps this is where this one shines as opposed to the second one. They're based on, obviously, the different Nickelodeon properties, but they take a lot of time and care to really give it that kind of feel. Like, they are recognizable locations for each one, and there are these what are they called? Slime tunnels, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, they're pretty much just like a secret route, which usually will make it so you're gonna get to another, like, the next area much quicker than everyone else. Usually. Now, I actually have run into a couple of courses where these things actually don't help you at all. But those are few and far between, and maybe it's just, I'm not, like, I just don't have the right stuff equipped yet. I don't know, but I thought it was a nice addition, but because it also makes you have to keep, it also keeps you on your toes, because there are these, like, little things that can screw up your speed, and then your character's like, ugh, and then, like, you slow down. So you have to, like, do these, like, super jump moves over these barriers just to make sure that you're hitting every, like, or I should say not hitting everything as you move through. And yeah, so, like, there's a ton of characters, like, guys from, like, Hey Arnold, Rocko's Modern Life, Avatar The Last Airbender, Danny Phantom, Rugrats are in there. Like, he can even play as Reptar against against everybody. And with that, much like the previous game, you can build this crew of secondary characters who will help you along. Like, you can get, like, Filbert, and there are characters from other Nickelodeon shows that have, you know, they came,
like, secondary characters and stuff like
that. Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I unfortunately can't name them because they came after I stopped watching Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
So I'm not familiar with it, but like they help manage a big crew. One of them will help. I'm sorry.
I was going to say one of the special edition characters is Shredder. And like whenever he fills up and powers up his gauge, he'll just put out blades around
like,
you.
Yeah.
So if anyone runs into you, they wreck.
Yeah. Like, but that's the problem. Like it sounds great. Like, you know, on paper, but then when I found it in practice, I actually found that Shredder Singh didn't really help me that much at all.
Really?
Like, yeah, for me, it didn't anyway. But anyway, so yeah, so you could have one person who manages your pit crew, and then there's like a defense and an offense character as well who will add stuff. And then, of course, you can customize your cart, which I think is a lot of fun. Like, you can have it look like the bathtub car from like SpongeBob SquarePants. There's like a Ninja Turtles car. And of course you can decide like what kind of paint wrap you want to have on it, what wheels, and the wheels and like the exhaust will, they can only aid your car. Like they can't really hinder it. And then, yeah, so you just move through various cups. The more cups you go through, like you'll unlock characters. And then there's also challenges, and the challenges will net you points, which you can use to unlock other characters or customization abilities. But also, some of these challenges are also the only way that you're going to be able to get some of these things. So, you know, it much like the previous one, it behooves you to go through all the challenges, even if some of them are a complete pain in the butt. There was, oh crud, what was it? It was the Spooky House one. It was one of the first challenges. And I swear to God, it was the only one that like I was struggling with. And that's when I discovered that like going through the slime tunnel actually made you go slower than everyone else. But yeah, so even with the challenges, you know, this game, you know, if something isn't working for you, definitely change up, you know, your style, change up like the stuff on your car, even just look at the track a different way and you should be getting to go. My youngest kid, I can see this being a tad bit overwhelming, and the load times are a little crazy for how long it takes you to like build up your car, get your team, get onto the track, get the track started, and all that kind of stuff. But for my oldest kid, I could definitely see him being into this. I liked it. I dug it. I think the second one
something too. That we didn't mention yet that has to be brought up is that it has voice acting. A lot of people after Nick All-Stars Brawl came out complained about the lack of voice acting. Nickelodeon must have been like, you know what, we got to hire some voice actors and we might as well put them to use. So they got them to voice over the All-Star Brawl game, and now they have voice acting in this.
Yeah.
Lots of authentic voice characters, like the original Ninja Turtle voice actors are in there, so I'm always happy to hear Cam Clark getting work.
Fuck yeah.
I love Cam Clark. Yeah, voice acting is great. I love having it in there. It gives it that extra feel. I think compared to the second game, it's not as big a step up as the first to the second was. But
it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, they finally found their footing with the second one. And
I was
going to
say the first one was atrocious.
I remember you saying that.
Second one was a hell of an improvement. Third one, I think, is another improvement. I like that they have 12 player online, which is good. So I think they did a solid job with this. I think especially when you compare it to something like Paw Patrol Grand Prix that we covered last week, I think this eclipses it in terms of content available,
characters, enjoyability. I would say that Paw Patrol is also aimed at a very different age group, though.
I don't think they're that different.
Oh yeah, like I guarantee you there's no way that my five-year-old would sit through all the customization options that you have to do through this and like the wait time. I know him, he would get bored. He needs you need a game that like you don't have to do all that much strategy on and you can just get up and go.
Okay, but there are other children out there.
I get that, but what I'm saying is that like this is based on it for like this is aimed at a different age range than the Paw Patrol game. Like, would I get this for a five-year-old? No. Would I get it for, like, a 10-year-old? Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's 50 bucks. What are your thoughts on it?
$50, I'd recommend it. But as I said, different age range for older kids, definitely. Younger kids, stick with something easier like the Paw Patrol Grand Prix.
Cool.
I wonder if that's why they released them so close.
They're competing games. They're not the same company.
Yeah, but when it's Nickelodeon versus Nickelodeon, Nickelodeon wins. Anyway.
Next game, Star Trek Prodigy Supernova, developed by Tessera Studios, published by Outright Games, released October 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. After the protostar picks up a strange reading from a dying star, it's a race against time to save their friends, their ship, new alien species, and an entire planetary system before a supernova destroys them all. Jacob and Aki, both of you played this. Aki, how about you start? What's going on in Star Trek Prodigy?
Okay, this is an action-adventure game where you play as Dal and Gwyn, both of some different alien species. I haven't kept up with Star Trek in a long time, so don't actually know what species either of them are.
Jacob, do you know the species?
Not off the top of my head, but like I'm dying on the inside so far. But yeah. I can look this up.
Yeah, please do. They have stolen their own little spaceship. They stole it. In the opening of the game, they outright dictate they stole it.
Anyway.
And they have managed to crash on a planet, and now they have to find their crew that they teleported out to protect them, as well as find parts of their ship because it's being scavenged by robots. And in this, it has local co-op only, or you can play solo. Sadly, there's no online co-op, which I think really sucks because I think it'd be much cooler if you could play it online. If you're playing single player, you get to play as either character you want. You just click a button to switch to the other character. The character you're going to probably be playing as most of the time is Dal. Not because you're going to like him more, but because the game is clearly made with him in mind. Because from the very beginning, you have a melee weapon and a ranged weapon, and then you get new weapons as you play through the game. Dal starts with a really shitty wrench and two phasers that take forever to overheat, versus Gwyn's sword and one really, 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 really shitty phaser. And then he gets, you know, throughout the game, the new weapons he gets are all ranged weapons, like a rifle and a cannon, basically. And she gets gauntlets to punch things, so you know, super useful.
I would like to interject on that. All right, so the thing is, I actually ended up using Gwyn quite a bit because once you upgrade those gauntlets, like, they deal like a massive amount of damage, and I did find myself comfortably switching between the two, using Gwyn's gauntlets, but also for Dal getting his once he got the phaser rifle, like, yeah, that thing was great. Like, and so, like, I would, you know, have Gwyn attack up close, and I'd have Dal attack from far away, and just keep switching between the two.
Yeah, the moment I got that rifle, it was just Dal the entire time. And I don't even like Dal. I much prefer Gwyn. But I was like, this rifle, it's ace.
I don't know if I'd necessarily agree that the game is more Dal centered in terms of combat, but
are you more likely to get hit at close range with a bunch of things that hit you at close range, or at far range where things, most of the enemies have close range?
Well, but the thing is that most of the enemies start dashing, so long range doesn't always become that helpful, especially when they're swarming. So
you just have to circle around the battlefield and it's easy.
Fight them.
Well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to fight them.
Kite. Not fight. Yeah. Kite.
Oh.
Yeah, you just drag go around in circles around them. Yeah. It's super effective. Most of these robots are stupid. And often I found that if you just played as Dal and let Gwen go off, because both characters fight and they actually do damage to the enemies. So it's not like they're just sitting there being fucking worthless like they usually are in most games.
Yeah, I will give it that. It's definitely not like Resident Evil 5 Shiva.
Yeah, like, if you just played as Dal, lots of the times most of the enemies would surround Gwen because she ran right up to him because she doesn't have ranged. So I thought it was really easy to play as Dal. It was like super easy mode, and I appreciate that. As you find your crew, you also unlock the ability to enter special areas. Usually they'll have more crystals that you break open in order to get smaller crystals that you use to pay for upgrades. And sometimes they might have a collectible in there as well. Usually they have one in there somewhere. The collectibles, there's a few different ones. There's relics, there's plant life, there's these weird dog-like things that hop around. And there's chests that hold just a whole bunch of the crystals. All of those are different collectibles that you need to collect for achievements in each.
Well, they're also used for updating your stuff. I mean, because the little little hoppy dog things are used when you unlock Rock Talk. When you rescue her, like, it allows you to upgrade your health and energy. I forgot what the other. Thank you.
And energy. Your energy, so you can dash.
Right, and then with the crystals, you use it for to get weapons upgrades from Jankum.
They are costly.
I was a little surprised by that, because like at first, as long as you collect everything on one level, like at the beginning, as long as you collect everything on one level, whenever Jankum offers you an upgrade, I was usually able to upgrade Dal and Gwen at the same time, but then later on I had to start deciding, like, all right, who's gonna get what.
I replayed a number of the levels multiple times trying to get different badges, because as you beat levels you can earn three different badges in it. One for not being KO'd at all. I think it's you have to be KO'd less than three times.
It is, which honestly, most levels I made it through without ever being KO'd. It's not that hard.
I've never been KO'd on an actual level, so for an adult, it's very easy. For kids, they might go down a few times. Then there's one for getting a certain above a certain amount of the crystals, which. Very easy. If you're getting every crystal, you're gonna easily pass that number. Because there's lots of like little boxes of crystals and actual giant crystals that are very obvious that you can destroy and pick them up, and those alone will give you all the crystals you need. But then some enemies also drop crystals. Usually it's the last enemy you kill will drop some. Not particularly useful in the grand scheme of things, because they don't drop that much, but if you're getting all the crap, destroying all of it and picking up the crystals, you'll easily get that. And the last one is for beating the level really quick, and some of those are easy, some of those you really just need to wait until you get upgrades.
Usually like the first run through, there was a couple of the levels that I was like 20 or 30 minutes over what they wanted, but it was because like I had to figure out like the puzzle and stuff like that. And like once you figured it out, like if you run through it again, you'll easily be able to beat that part time.
Yeah, and the thing is, you get an achievement for getting all of those on each world and then for getting them on all the worlds, but if you get all of one of them, you unlock a cheat as well. If you collect all of the crystal ones, you get big head mode that you can turn on and off.
I'm not gonna lie, I never understood including big head mode for any game. Like, and games have been including that for ages. Like,
well,
and
some games it makes it easier to headshot enemies, but in this one, it's your characters, and it doesn't. It just turns them into bubble heads, really. And I don't get that. I guess we're not kids, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
For getting less than 3 KO one on all the maps, you are able to do twice as much damage as you normally do. I don't think it's actually working properly, just because I know how many shots it takes to kill some enemies, and I feel like it takes more with this on, even though I'm supposed to do double the damage, so it should take half as many, but whatever. Yeah, and then the one for beating all the levels really quickly gives you invincibility.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so two of those are really good. One of them is, it exists. but yeah, that's really it. There's three different worlds you go to. Each one is its own special biome, and there's four levels for each planet.
I also thought it was interesting that with the Star Trek Prodigy toys that are going to be coming out, all the action figures are going to have codes that are going to be able to unlock other items or cheats within the game. And of course, the funny thing, yeah, and like what I mean, Mass Effect 2. I
want those codes. I don't want those games. or those toys, I mean. I want the all codes, right, well, then, I don't want the toy.
Alright, well then just, you know, buy the toys and then send them to me, and, you know, that's fine. I'll take them off your hands. but
you can buy the toys and just give me the codes.
No.
Damn.
Anyway, but I thought it was really interesting because, like, the game already has it set up that, you know, you're going to have to go buy these toys to get these codes for other relics or cheats. And I highly doubt that they have anything to do with like achievements or how the game will really play. But if you look at the release dates, we're only getting certain figures in November. Holographic Janeway doesn't even come out till March of next year. And so I'm just like, what if, like, this toy line fails and Playmate scraps the holographic Janeway? Like, what do we do then?
Nothing. You're SOL. I like that they got the original actress who did Captain Janeway's voice, or played Captain Janeway, technically. They actually brought her in to voice the holograph.
Yeah, I mean, she does it on the show, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't seen the show.
I thought you said you did.
No.
Oh.
I said I haven't watched Star Trek in forever. I haven't kept up with it in years. I don't. That's why I don't know what race these characters are, even.
Well, the game is sitting at $50. What do the two of you think about it?
I had some issues with the game, namely replaying it. The tutorial replays every time, and there's no way to tell the game, shut the fuck up. I know that a block that shoots out a line of light that needs to hit this thing, I know that I have to drag it to hit the thing. I'm not dumb. So it replays every time you replay the level. Every single time. There's no way to skip it or anything, which is really irritating. And then there's no way to skip the tiny little cutscenes. All of it eats away at your time, and it drives me nuts. But other than that, I really liked the game. However, at $50, this isn't a lot of game to me.
So for me, I've only been playing it by myself. So
me too.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to make assumptions, Aki, you know.
You always can. I never play with other people.
So I played this by myself, usually late at night, under the influence or above the influence. And I found it, what? No. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, I found it interesting, and while some of like the block moving challenge, like puzzles, were a little tedious, like I did enjoy the challenge that they presented. What I will say is that, especially compared to other games that Outright has released before, this is by far my favorite, and I'm not saying that just because this is a Star Trek game. I honestly thought that this is like, this was an incredibly solid game. It was well done. The puzzles were engaging. I wasn't thrilled with the cutscenes, but again, they were also like, whatever. I just kind of wish that, like, I didn't have to hear the same voice like the same clips or like the same lines from the characters over and over again.
Like, yeah, every time you switch from one character to the other, they'll say something.
I'll take the lead. Let me show you how it's done. I'll take the lead. Like holy God, just guys, you could have had like five other lines that you could have switched between. Like, please, like, I'd want that to get fixed. But honestly, like, for $50, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like, this is definitely a game that I'll be able to play with my oldest son, and enjoy doing couch co-op with him. So, you know, you may, like, this is not going to be a game aimed at 5-year-olds. It's rated E10. And I agree, yeah. Like, you know, this is a game made for, like, kids who are about 10. And this is an excellent couch co-op game for, like, a parent and their kid. That being said, we Star Trek fans have also blown $60 on way worse Star Trek titles. So, like, honestly, like, this was a very nice addition, and I enjoy it. Like, I'd recommend it.
I think it's a try it and buy it if it's on sale.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like what I would go with, the try it, wait for a sale. I'm interested in it, but I don't want to drop $50 on it.
Yeah, it's 12 levels. It's very hard for me to suggest buy a game. It's 12 levels, and each one might take you 30 minutes.
I was expecting like a $40 price tag on this, but I guess the Star Trek license bumps it up a bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Star Trek's amazing. So,
anyway, next game, Kamikaze Vegetables, developed and published by Red Limb Studios, released October 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Red communist vegetables want to take control over the world. Only a special squad of veggies, warriors, can stop them. If you like absurd humor and a breath of adventure on your back, then you've come to the right place. Jacob, what's going on in Kamikaze Vegetables?
So the storyline in this game is that humanity has blown itself up with nukes, there's not even figuratively, they're literally gone. And they actually took out a whole chunk of the world with it. And with that, vegetables became the sentient creatures on Earth. However, the sun's harmful rays have now kind of made some vegetables go crazy if they're out there too long, which apparently, being out in the sun too long makes you become a communist. I'm not sure how that like follows, because most leftists I know don't leave their house, but you know, whatever. Anyway, so the game starts you off with a tutorial where you have to go through this like little training camp area, and it teaches you the basic stuff, like, you know, you need to learn how to do stealth. You have to, like, learn how to run at your enemies and blow up one of your characters, where the kamikaze part comes in, and just how, like, you know, search for treasure, because that'll help, you know, boost your score at the end of the game, and a lot of just, like, get from point A to point B, throw grenades, use weapons, that kind of stuff. The game's animation is simplistic. I mean, this is very much an indie title. So, like, you know, obviously you're not dealing with anything Call of Duty like, but more of like a cartoon style. Honestly, I would say like it's very reminiscent of like OG Xbox kind of style with that. But yeah, so once you complete the tutorial level, like, it's just you get into your helicopter, you go to these different islands, and you're gonna eventually take down all the communist vegetables. And it's just, you know, all right, do this, sneak by this guy, blow this up, like, prevent this rocket from launching, you know, prevent them from doing this. All right, congratulations, like, here's your score. Now on to the next island, where we're going to give you a different infantry unit. Now, each level, you get X amount of dollars that you get to spend, and then you can decide, like, what kind of vegetables you're going to have on your team. And the game builds stuff up early. You know, like, you're only allowed X, you know, like, these regular all-around infantrymen. But, like, as you go through the game, you get more and more specialized characters. Each with their own kind of thing. Like, one of them has like a short fuse, and so, like, if you're going to drop them into an area, it's because you know exactly where the area is that you need to blow up. And, you know, you don't really care about this guy because he only costs you 50 coins as opposed to like 200 or 300 or something like that. It's not a bad game. I felt like it was pretty repetitive and it, like, I don't know. It didn't really do it for me, but it's not bad.
Fall into the animation,
like,
of my gaping butthole.
It was kind of clippy. I was like, the art style I didn't really like. And also, like, the voice acting, like, during the cutscenes, like, characters' mouths wouldn't move. But the biggest drawback for me was that I had a really hard time with the menus. Like, they kept glitching out and they wouldn't let me select certain missions to replay, even though it was saying, like, yeah, you could just click this to hit start, and it would make the start, like, button clicking noise, but then it wouldn't do anything, and then it would just crash. And this happened a couple of times. My game didn't, like, never got deleted or corrupted or anything like that, but it was just kind of annoying with that. I mean, hopefully they fix it. But all in all, like, I don't know. Like, I could see it being, like, a fun, like, $10 game on Steam or something like that, but
well, I don't know. $10 game.
Oh, well, splendid.
You should pay attention to when I say the price.
No, I don't want to pay attention to you. For $10, I'd say it's a try it. It was amusing enough, but it's not going to set the world on fire.
Yeah, I do enjoy the humor in it. I like the store page that says, "Red communist vegetables are your enemy. They are cruel and ruthless bastards. They want to take control of the whole world. Reds are better armed and their troops contain GMO mutants, extremely aggressive beasts. War is not a place for cowards."
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So, yeah, your official verdict?
Try it.
Cool. All right, next up, Letterboxd by Paugi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released October 11th on PS4, PS5, 13th on the Switch, 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $7.99. But for some reason, the Xbox price is at like $9.59 for some reason. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know if that's a mistake or if they're going to fix that or what's going on with that, but it should be, I think, $7.99. Letterboxd is a game of anagrams and logical reasoning featuring 120 unique puzzles, and as always, the puzzles are handcrafted and checked to ensure a pleasant experience and satisfying solving experience in typical Paugi style. The reward for solving each puzzle is a terrible dad joke. Jacob, what's going on in Letterboxd?
So with this, you're given three rows and three columns, and you have to use these columns to make three five-letter words going across and three five-letter words going down. You're given the letters on the end, like the beginning and ending letter, and then you have to figure out what's in the middle to complete the puzzle and advance it to another thing. It took me a little bit to get the hang of it. Like, one night, like, honestly, the first night, I was just struggling with this game. But then the next day, it clicked. And, like, all Paugi games, like, once you get into that kind of flow, you know, I'm not going to say it's easy, because, I mean, like, there were still plenty of puzzles where, like, it took me, like, 2-3 minutes to figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's more approachable because of the fact that there's only 9 letters you can pick from.
Yeah. And also, it's like, it's not nearly as obtuse as like some of the ones where it's just like, all right, here's 20 fucking letters, and like you have to think about coffee, and it's like the letters are like, or like the words are like mug, aroma, and cappuccino, like, which, oh, or God, like,
damn it, Carnage.
What?
He said Joe needs the cat version of this game, Letterboxd by Paugi. Ha.
My soul hurts.
I know.
You should turn Carnage's front yard into a litter box. No,
I bet Lightwood is just all about that joke. Litter box by Pekka. Anyway, so the game.
So yeah. So, you know, it's just like once you get the hang of it, it flows pretty well, better than some of the other Paugi games out there. But it's a solid, chill puzzle game that, you know, I enjoy pretty much everything that Lightwood has put out.
Yeah.
My main complaint is that, for the love of God, I really wish that they would get some new tunes. you know,
use whatever money like they make as a profit off of this to like, you know, throw somebody like $50 to make a new song or something like that. I don't know. But honestly, that's really my main complaint about it. If you like puzzle games, especially Paugi's previous entries, you're going to be right at home with this one.
Oh my God. Paugi Lightwood should get the one-ups to do a soundtrack for the game of just like jazz funk music.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be amazing.
I mean, you might want to ask the one-ups. For $8, yeah, it's totally worth it. Cool. You know, highly recommend it.
All right, Jacob, that is it for you. That is it with your reviews. I guess we'll let you get going.
I mean, you could. I don't know. How many games does Aki have to review?
3.
Ugh. What are they?
Sam and Max Save the World and Beyond Time and Space Bundle, Witch's House MV, and Nevmo Capsula.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
Hey, goodbye.
All right. Bye.
Go to hell. Next game to talk about tonight is Sam and Max Save the World and Beyond Time and Space Bundle, developed and published by Skunk Ape Games. The bundle released September 28th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $29.99. Sam is a 6-foot canine detective with a nose for justice. Max is a hyperkinetic, rabbity thing with a taste for mayhem. Together, they're the freelance police and irreverent comedy duo whose esoteric crime-fighting style has been entertaining comic book and video game fans for more than 30 years. This is a bundle of 2 games available. Aki, what is going on in Save the World and Beyond Time and Space?
All right. I don't know why it's just the 2 games. It seems like there's actually a 3rd game that they didn't include in this that actually completes it. Because these are all, you know, they just run in a line. It's all one giant narrative. But in this, you play as, obviously,
Sam and Max. I'm actually looking up to see what the 3rd game is.
I don't know. I don't know if they've brought it over, a remaster to it, but I'm pretty sure there's another one.
I don't know.
I think it's a trilogy, but I'm not sure now. Now I'm second guessing myself. Why did you do this?
Because there's only the 2 on Xbox.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm crazy. I could have swore it was supposed to be a trilogy.
There may be a 3rd one. I don't recall, but I thought they kind of stood alone in, like, they were all fairly standalone releases with their own self-contained episodic style.
Well, each one is episodic, as in you deal with specific cases, and by all accounts, both games do deal with their own stuff, but they do follow a narrative throughout. You can play either one and not care, but it does explain things. If you play the 1st game, it explains stuff in 2. Because they do reference that stuff a lot in the 2nd game. But it is its own contained story, I guess.
Hey, I have an answer. Sam and Max, The Devil's Playhouse, is the 3rd and final season created by Telltale. It is available on Windows and PS3, and a remaster is currently in development. So this is leading up to the remaster of The Devil's Playhouse.
Okay, there we go. All right, there we are.
Hey!
Okay, so the 1st game, which I don't remember which one is the 1st game anymore. Joe will have to
save the
look
world.
That up. Okay, there we go. Is 6 episodes long. Each one they're dealing with hypnosis. That's how all of them are dealt with in the 1st one. Each case deals with hypnosis, with them trying to figure out what's going on, which is answered obviously in the last one. Each chapter is about 2-3 hours long, I think. Especially if you suck at these games, like me. The characters are funny, I guess. I didn't really jive with them all that much, but I think I would have if I was a teenager. And since the thing said that gamers have loved them for, like, what, 30 years, it said? That's probably where most of the fans played it, was when they were kids or teenagers. So it's probably still in their system. I never played any of these games before, so this would be kind of like someone coming in and playing the new Duke Nukem games. It's like people who really like Duke Nukem probably thought it was okay. Everyone else thought it was shit. These are okay to me. Lots of the jokes come down to very homicidal tendencies, realistically speaking, because Max the Bunny is a fucking psychopath, just straight up. Everything he suggests in any conversation is violence. Even if it's not a problem, he just wants to commit unreasonable acts of violence. That's all he wants to do. That's fun for him.
So it's your spirit animal?
Kinda, kinda. And then Sam is the somewhat more agreeable. He's not quite as openly bloodthirsty, but he also doesn't particularly rein in the bunny all that much. Instead, he's like, oh, don't rile up the bunny. He's crazy. And then proceeds to allow people to rile up the bunny so the bunny will go crazy. That's the type of individual he is. He's not like, oh yes, let's go kill everybody, but he's not against like shooting people just because he just isn't as vocal about it. The game deals a lot with some reoccurring characters that are in both games that I hate. And I think that's the whole point of these characters. They're called the Soda Poppers, I think is what they were called. And they're basically childhood stars. And they're in a lot of the episodes in both games. And they're just these three midgets, basically. And they're all fucking annoying. Just their voices, the way they talk, it's like they're from a 70s sitcom or something. It's terrible. It's so bad. Most of this game is point and click, basically. It's not overly complex. There are some mini games that you can find in the game, mostly related to the second one, which doesn't have a unifying gameplay mechanic, or not mechanic, story through line, I guess, whereas the first one had all the hypnosis, I guess, portals, maybe? Might be the second game's thing? It seems a lot looser, and connecting all the threads. All the threads do connect in a way, but it's not like, oh, each case deals with this same specific type of thing, unlike the first game. And it has a lot of little mini games where you, in each chapter, where you can drive Sam and Max's car and get little upgrades for it, which is actually surprisingly fun, even though it doesn't sound like it. Most of them require you to, you know, they're all just like decals for your car originally, and if you get all the decals, you get an actual car upgrade that sticks with you through all the other episodes, which is cool.
Just in the its own dedicated game, or does it cross over into the other game as well?
Since this is in the second game and you don't really drive it in the first game like this, so it doesn't go backwards.
Yeah.
I wasn't
sure which one you were talking about for a second.
Yeah, sorry.
Because you're just jumping between the two.
Yes, I am. It's really hard to separate them. His release is
a bundle, so we're reviewing this as a bundle.
Yeah, and I played them one after another, so it's really hard to separate everything when you've put, like, 40 hours or something in between the two of them in, like, 5 days. It's very, very confusing trying to separate them at this point.
Yeah, but did you have fun playing it? That's the main question. Did you enjoy your time with it?
Personally, because I didn't really jive with the characters all that much, it wasn't all that amazingly fun. It wasn't a bad game. I didn't have that connection with it that I think you kind of need to have. If you're not a fan of the Sam and Max games, I don't think you're going to care a lot about this one. Just because I don't think you're going to have that attachment. And if you're an adult, I don't know if the humor in this game is going to give you that attachment. If you're a teenager, yeah, you'll probably love this. And if you played these as a kid, you'll probably love this. But everyone else is going to be like, it's not a bad game. It's just, yeah, it's just okay. It's like, it exists.
Well, the games are available individually for $20 each, or available in a bundle for $30. What are your thoughts?
Oh, totally get the $30 one, because both of them, if you're going to play one, you might as well play both, because again, through line from the first game to the last, it tells an entire story. Everything is related to each other, so I'd get the bundle, personally. Yeah. If you're going to buy the games individually, wait until they're on a sale, and buy the first one. If you like it, get the second one. And then you're only spending $30 anyways. See, it works.
Yay! Any other comments on the bundle?
Not really.
I honestly thought you would have clicked with this one more than you did.
I was kind of expecting to, too. Yeah, like...
Jacob is Sam. You are... The two of you are Sam and Max.
I guess. I kind of... Like, there was one thing I really did like about the games, and I don't know why. I don't know how many people here used to read the old Batman comics and the original live-action TV show of Batman, but Sam, every time he gets a call from the commissioner to give him a job, he has this long thing that basically means, hey, cool, we have a job. It's like, golly gee willikers, Susan in a handbasket, we have a job, and stuff like that, and it... Every one of them, it just gets longer and weirder, and I don't know why, but I really enjoyed that. It's like, this is so dumb, I love it. But yeah, no, I totally expected to like this a lot more than I did, just from what I tangentially knew about Sam and Max. I was like, okay, this should be up my alley, because these guys are homicidal maniacs, that sounds great. And I don't know why it didn't connect with me, but it just didn't, sadly. I mean, I'm not against playing the third game when it comes out just to finish the story, because the story is not bad. It's just the characters didn't connect with me in a deep level.
Yeah. Oh, well, next game is The Witch's House MV, developed by Fummy, published by Dangan Entertainment, released October 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. The Witch's House is a deliberately designed with traps at almost every turn. Sudden death is unpredictable and it keeps players on their toes. Anything can happen at any time. What's that mean?
It means in this game you're going to die a lot.
Yeah.
this game's pretty short. You can beat it in just an hour or two.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not long, especially if you're playing it on easy. If you're playing it on normal, it's going to take you a lot longer because you're going to die a ton, because fuck you, that's why. that's kind of this entire game's way of playing.
I see it bills itself as a Japanese horror RPG. I was kind of shocked to hear it's that short, given it's an RPG.
It's an RPG in the sense that it's an RPG maker game.
Oh, it's an RPG-like.
Yeah.
Rip-it-like.
Yeah. If any of you know anything about RPG Maker, it's the lowest common denominator of what's on Steam. If you find one game of that, you'll find another 500 just like it. That's just what RPG Maker is.
It doesn't mean that they're bad games. It's just very
some easy of them are really good
to create stuff with RPG Maker.
Yeah. Usually, if you're releasing something on Steam, this is like baby's first RPG system is the RPG Maker, because you can just buy it and make stuff in it. So that's how it's an RPG. Otherwise, it's not an RPG in any sense. Which, ironically, lots of the games in the RPG Maker stuff on Steam aren't RPGs either. this is a horror game, and you play as a 13-year-old girl named Violet. She has found herself in a witch's home, and now she has to find a way to get the fuck out. There's only one real way out, so every time you play the game, you're playing it the same way. It's just, there's lots of hidden traps, and... monsters that come for you that you have to run from and stuff like that. Otherwise, it solved this basic puzzle like, oh, here's four pedestals that all have a different color, and here's three dolls that are wearing the same color but are on different pillars. What do you do? Would you care to answer that, Joe? Can you figure out what to do with that?
No clue.
Right, well, you pick up each doll and you put it on the correct fucking pillar. The what? One that matches the clothes they're wearing.
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how complex this game is.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, crazy difficult. This does have a lot of cheap deaths, I guess you'd call it. At least on your first playthrough, you're gonna get killed a number of times just because the game gives you minor hints. Like, one of the first deaths you're likely to come across is within like 20 seconds of playing the game. And you step over a thing of blood just because you enter a doorway and there's a note on a wall on the other side. So you just walk straight to it, like every other time you do that in any other game. And in this game, ironically. And you step onto a red, what looks like blood, and then you get crushed. The walls just go smack and crush you. And that's it. yeah. There's a lot of deaths that are very much like that are just, it doesn't really give you any warning. It just, there, yes, the blood was a hint, but that doesn't mean anything to you when you first start playing the game. And not all of them are just bloods, but they're all, once you die to it, it's kind of like, ah, that's obvious now. Now I get it. So yeah, it's just a little puzzle game, basically, where you have to try and find your way through this entire mansion to find your way out. There's a bunch of endings if you want to consider every death an ending, because there's so many fucking ways to die in this. And you have to die in every single one of those ways for an achievement. I thought I had done that on my first playthrough. I did not. And I think it has to be done in one playthrough, which just kills me.
I'm looking at the achievement list. I notice that Otacon, who usually completes like everything, is missing two achievements. And I'm wondering if they're broken or just hard to get.
Do you know what they are?
The one is bye-bye, said your last farewell to the will of the house, which is a secret one, so I just spoiled something for someone. And then the other is to watch every death scene.
The death scene one might be broken, or it might be considering there are some extra deaths that you can only get in the extra mode, which is like hard without saves, I think. If you die, you have to start from the beginning of the game. And there's a number of deaths that are specific just to there. I don't know if those are necessary for the achievement. The achievement might just be fucked up. Or it might need that. And if that's the case, I don't know how many people are going to find it worth their time to get it. Because there's a whole bunch of them, and even if it's a two hour long game, playing the same like first 20 minutes like 12 different times to get an individual kill death, and then playing it an hour and a half for like another 20 times to get 20 different deaths there, I don't know how many people are going to be willing to fucking do that. So I'm hoping it's just fucked up right now.
I was asking Carnage if he knew if the achievements were borked or just hard to get, because if anyone would know, it is Carnage.
Some of them are hard, and I think the other one that's missing is probably getting the true ending on extra mode would be my guess.
No, that's the one that says Depths of Despair, reach the true ending in extra mode.
Oh. Someone already got that? Jesus.
Yeah.
If they want to, like, just play it on my account, man, they're more than welcome to, because I tried normal and it kicked my ass, and I was like, oh, you bitch. But no, it's you know, I enjoyed it. It's pretty fun. There is a save system. I don't think it works in extra mode. I'm pretty sure the save system is gone in extra mode. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure if you want the true ending, you can't use the save system either. Wow. Yeah, the save system is talking to a cat.
Okay. That makes some of these achievements make a bit more sense.
Yeah, there's one for talking to the cat one time, which you'll notice if you look at my achievement list, I don't have that, even though I've beaten the game twice. It's because I was like, okay, I want the true ending, and I don't think you're allowed to talk to the cat. So I was like, okay, so I'm just not going to. And so I didn't.
Here's another secret achievement. It's reach the witch's room without talking to the black cat a single time.
Yep. I probably have that one, unless it has to be done on a higher difficulty than what I've played. But
I don't know. It shows only one gamer has it, and it's Otacon. So you're not on TA. So.
No, I'm. I don't like that site.
Just like you're not on Twitter.
Yep.
Are they related at all or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the game's sitting at $14.99. What are your thoughts on the Witch's House MV?
I liked it. I think it's worth a buy, as long as you're not an achievement whore. If you're like, oh, this looks simple, I'll get it for the quick, easy achievements. Fuck you. No, you're not. But right. Everyone else, yeah, I'm for it. I thought it was a fun game.
Cool. All
right. And it has a nice little twist ending, so.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not.
Okay. One more game to talk about tonight that is called Nevmo Capsula, developed by Pomishkin Valentin Igorevich.
Sure.
That's what I'm going with. Published by Sometimes You, released October 19th. Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Time seems to have stopped at the break of 1930 to 1960 years here. The city is connected by a single system of rails, tracks, and pipes. The smallest part of this bizarre system is the mechanical mail. The mail here is delivered by carts on small rails, and you'll play the role of one of these carts. On the way towards the target, you'll find obstacles, barriers, and various puzzles, labyrinths, and all that fun stuff. Aki, what is Nevmo Capsula?
All right. And this, you basically play as a pneumatic tube on wheels. And you are meant to reach these little electronic boxes that have mail in it and basically fax them. For people, because apparently people are too lazy to manage that. And throughout it, you have like 5 pieces of mail or something like that you have to deliver. And throughout, you have to solve little puzzles. Basically, you drive through these little squares typically that have circular bulbs in them, and then you can charge your electricity thing. And it can cause things to move or shift, so on and so forth. It's how you interact with the world, other than just moving around. And, you know, sometimes it'll move a track up or down, so you can go either straight ahead or under to the area beneath you or to above you. Which you use to get to other areas, typically where you, again, have to use that same ability to start electricity to, I believe, short these electrical traps they seem to be. Why they were created, I have no fucking clue. It seems like that's a really bad way to make your mail system, to put stuff on the track that will destroy the mail system. And serves no other purpose. that's kind of like being like, hey, yeah, this person is an alcoholic. We don't want them to drink anymore, so let's put them in a room filled with nothing but alcohol. It's counterproductive is what it is. Thankfully, anytime you either fall off the track because you've found an area where the track has fallen apart or maybe wasn't ever put together, because again, if they're putting stuff that electrifies the thing and destroys it, who knows, maybe they just decided, hey, let's not put track here just to see if we can destroy some of these, who knows. Anytime you fall through that or, again, get into the electrical trap, your vehicle gets destroyed and you just spawn a little before then at the prior checkpoint. You have an infinite amount of lives, so you can just keep fucking up until you figure it out. It's very nice that way. Most of the sections are separated between what they call labyrinths, which is where you deal with the electrical stuff. You have to find your way through a multiple floors of tracks, basically, and turn off all these electrical traps. And that's, they consider those labyrinths. There's a few of those in the game. And then the rest are solving puzzles, namely to figure out how to turn on the electricity to these fax machines, basically, and then how to number code them to get them to actually send where they're supposed to go. For instance, you can think of all these fax machines as like the briefcases that have locks on them, the number locks. That's basically what all the fax machines are. So you have to figure out the right numeric code, and you really don't want to brute force it because there's four or five numbers for it. So that, and they all go from 0 to 9. So that's a long time if you try to brute force it. So you have to solve that. Sometimes, you know, it'll outright tell you in areas nearby. Like for the first one, it tells you, hey, I need to send it to this person at this place in this city in this section. And then there just happens to be a big map right next to it that lists all that information and a bunch of other places, obviously. And you just have to be like, okay, this city is right there. That's this number. This section is right there. That's this number. And this place is this number. Now I have to put it in here in a way that makes sense and get it to fax. And then you just keep fiddling until you've entered it correctly. Later on, they get a lot more complicated. And to be quite frank, I had to use a walkthrough for a couple of them that because I could not figure out what it was. I couldn't even figure out where the puzzle was for it to answer it, because some of them, there's like a big gigantic wall of text right next to like two of them, and I'm like, I don't even know what in here is what I'm supposed to look at to find the number, so I had to look up a guide for those. But otherwise, everything you do in the game will get you 100%. Everything is either sending a piece of mail or getting to a new section, to a new checkpoint. So just beating the game will 100% you on this. It's not bad. And the game takes, if you have a walkthrough and you follow it, it'll probably take you like 2 or 3 hours. It's also really short. It took me like 4 or 5 because I was trying to do it without the walkthrough. Which was mostly okay. All the labyrinths are very simple to figure out because you see the colored lights everywhere. It's, and you know, you have to put them all out. It's very simple. The puzzles just get a little tricky sometimes.
All right, well, the game is sitting at $5. What are your thoughts?
I'm totally for it, especially if you're an achievement whore. Because this is a real easy 100%. Just get a fucking walkthrough because you're not going to solve it on your own.
Cool. Something to keep in mind, the Xbox One and Series X and S versions are separate. I believe the PS4 and PS5 versions are separate as well. You will have to buy them separate and get separate achievement lists. So achievement hunters can double dip. The thing to remember with Sometimes You games is that they'll put the Xbox One version on like a discount for launch. So it's $3.99 instead of $4.99. And then if you buy that one, the Series X version gets a 50% discount.
Oh, cool.
But you've got to buy them in that order. You can't go backwards. Buy the Xbox One version and then the Series.
Is it still currently on sale?
Yes, it is on sale. Okay. It is on sale for 5 more days for $3.99. It is, so until it comes out, we are reviewing this a little early, but that's what happens when they say no embargo and we could cover it when we want. Ha. Huh.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
So again, it comes out October 19th. It is $4 right now. And then if you buy it for $4, you could get the series version for $2.50.
Yeah, I might get it on the Xbox One just to double dip.
There you go. So, no, that's it. We're done. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yay! Cats are hissing. Hold on, I'm going to spray my cats.
Okay.
Dickhead cats. I hope the microphone picked all that up.
Yep. Yeah, it did.
I tried to be as loud as I could for the mic.
I even heard the spray bottle spraying.
Did you? Nice.
Yes. I didn't hear the cats at all, but I heard the spray bottle.
And just, I hear Peaches going. It's nonstop because butter is annoying her.
Does that? I mean, that sounds pretty standard.
Thanks, butter. music this episode. Shit, what should we play? What was on this episode? Nothing with a crazy good soundtrack that I need to keep track of. So I think we got one more song off the Metal Hellsinger soundtrack I could use. So let's do that shit.
Sounds like a plan. You should toss up the pictures of Prider Man on screen while you do that. Watch that.
I'll have to look for that. But yeah, that won't be on the show. I can't show them on the show.
Why not?
Because the picture's going to be of the keyboard.
Fair enough.
Because it's dope.